flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. The Pistons are suddenly a decent basketball team. And somebody would say good basketball team. They're currently in the playoffs. Nobody expected this. So now what? What was obvious before the season, they'd be sellers at the deadline. Now are they buyers? Or do they just kind of hold serve and just try to see where this goes? Which camp are you in? 248-539-9797. I do think a lot of it centers around Malik Beasley. He is the guy to judge this on. He's an expiring contract. He's a good shooter. He's attractive for contenders, but he's also attractive to the Pistons. Yeah. He likes it here. I think he's helped Cade by spacing the floor. I think investing in Malik is investing in Cade, is investing in the future. It's more than just, hey, get in the playoffs and get eliminated. What was the point? It's get in the playoffs, set the foundation, and that's the launching pad. I'm open to extending Malik Beasley. Who else are they paying on this team right now?
Well, nobody.
And it's Cade and nobody.
Right. And so you mentioned you got that $14 million in cap. There's an $8 million buffer that they're able to get in terms of an exception if they want to take a trade.
Yeah.
Like going into the season, they were going to be that third team where people were going to dump salary, they were going to facilitate, and they were going to be able to pick up draft picks. Draft picks in the NBA, unless you're talking about getting one that's a top five, in the lottery, that where you're just going to have, you know, more balls in the hopper than anybody else, and you got good odds.
Yeah,
like I don't know how much value there is of taking on other people's trash.
Yeah, if a contender, like a championship contender, says we'll give you our first.
Yeah,
cool. I'm getting pick 28,
right?
29,
yeah.
30, great. I'm not trading Malik Beasley for a late first. And when it comes to seconds, the Pistons have been collecting these things. They have 11 second round picks. In the next, I think, 7 drafts, they're sitting on these little trinkets. I would try to cash in a couple of those in a slight upgrade. So I'll give you a mock trade I've seen out there. And it was DetroitBadBoys.com, their Pistons SB Nation blog. They said CJ McCollum for Tim Hardaway Jr., Simone Fontecchio, and a second. I'd make it 2 seconds. I just think New Orleans is a bad team with a bloated contract. McCollum has this year and next year. He gives the Pistons help for Cade in terms of distributing the ball. Yeah. He's a good shooter, can play without the ball. It's a 2-year commitment. It's not a 5-year commitment, right, where you start to really screw up your salary. Those are the type of moves I'd be looking at. I'd be keeping Beasley, and I'd be saying, do you want 1 or 2 vets in a couple seconds, and we'll just try to upgrade by 5% here, right, 10% there? Because you're not going out and making the splash, the true running mate for Cade Cunningham this year at the deadline.
Right, and so I like the fact that And I think Trajan Langdon will probably be of this mindset as well, knowing that they're ahead of where they were in the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ruin things long term. You're looking for 1-2 year commitments where you can make yourself a little bit better. You mentioned that 5 or 10%. I think that's huge at this time right now, and it doesn't prevent you from doing anything this offseason or next offseason. Like, you've got to have the short term in mind of, okay, we could be a playoff team. We could teach and learn what it's like to get in there. And we talked about it with the Lions. We talked about it with the Tigers.
Red Wings.
Young players, you've got to be able to learn how to get in and what it feels like and learn some of those tough lessons early on so that when you start adding things later and your expectation is to be a top six team and you're in the playoffs, you could do some damage when you get in.
Yeah, I've made the case for the Red Wings. There was a time where they were just getting in to get in to extend the streak, and it was kind of delaying the rebuild. Yeah. It's different now. The Wings need to get in to get Raymond and Sider and these young players a taste and to make Detroit even more attractive to free agents. And I think we'll see that with the Lions, who have taken the step and are now attractive to free agents. How beneficial is it for Cade to get in the playoffs where the intensity is going to be tripled, quadrupled? He'll get tested. He'll have a really ugly game, maybe 2 or 3 ugly games. He'll get humbled a bit, right? And that's part of the natural progression of a young player in the NBA.
But there's also that opportunity where he has 1 or 2 of those games where he just goes off.
Light bulb is on. He scores 45. It's a triple-double. And then all of a sudden you go, wait, the Pistons aren't some laughingstock joke. They've got Cade, who's played in the playoffs. They've got cap space. They've got their first-round picks moving forward after they give it up this year. That would be a great foundation for this team. So I am in team buy, not reckless. They can't even trade their own first right now.
But I'm in hold.
Hold with the option for a slight buy.
Yes.
Bargain shopping. I don't want to sell.
Upgrading.
Yeah, upgrading. I don't want to sell.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I don't want to be a team that sells anymore because they don't have to. Like it. They've gotten to this point way faster than we thought. And I mean, what was it that we thought coming in that this team was going to be? Right?
Last 25
year,
wins?
Yeah, or doubling what they did last year, 14-28.
Yeah.
All right? And now, okay, they still have to get there, but I think that's kind of a foregone conclusion that they're going to be that team that is just, hey, they are, their rebuild, now that they, it appears there's some competency in the front office and on the bench in terms of the coaches, that this is a team that can accelerate things.
Texter says they're not going to acquire the top player available like a Deer and Fox, but why can't they add a CJ McCollum and push for the 4 or 5 seed? I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Deer and Fox is a ball dominant point guard. So even if that was in the cards, it doesn't fit with Cade. Texter says they're winning without Ivy. I like Ivy, but I'm keeping Beasley and trading Ivy and picks to bring in another star/superstar and depth guys to complement Cade.
You know, I've heard that a lot, and maybe I just don't understand the NBA enough, or because there's a lot of weird things about the NBA, the trades, the way that you manage salaries. I'm not sure how much if you're going to get the value that you might be able to get for Ivy in the offseason when he's healthy versus trading him now when he's out for the year.
Texter says, can we trade the Pistons to Las Vegas for Max Crosby? I'd do that deal in a heartbeat. Look, I know there's a portion of you that go, really, Pistons talk? Yeah, this is what happens when football season's done and your basketball team's relevant.
That's the thing. And there's so many new experiences that Detroit's sports fans are having right now, where you've got a hockey team that since the coaching change was made, they're really good. You know, what, 11-3-1? Like, they are playing good hockey, winning hockey. And I expect that to continue. Maybe not at that clip, but I expect that to continue. I mean, how weird has it been in the last couple of years to talk about the Lions and the fact that they are, you know, two-time defending division champs. They had a 1 seed. Okay, early exit. But they're a team that we talk about with expectations of being in the Super Bowl. Now we're talking about the Pistons that are a competent team and front office, and they're winning, not at an amazing clip. They're 500, but that's so out of the norm of what we've known over the last decade.
So I really am tempted to put that question on Twitter.
What?
Would you trade the Pistons for Max Crosby? I actually think there's a decent percentage of people that would do it.
Oh, there's no question.
I think there are quite a few people who would do it.
Do you think 25% plus? Do you give up your franchise?
For Max Crosby? Oh, I think you'd be shocked. It would be more than 25%.
It works because the NBA needs to be in Vegas, right? Isn't that still a head scratcher why they're not in Vegas?
It'll happen eventually. Yeah. No, but I mean, if you want to get, I mean, Lions fans were all very, very excited about where this is going. And Crosby feels like a move that cements you to win a Super Bowl. I think there's people who'd like stop just shy of giving up their firstborn to win a Super Bowl. Of course they'd give
one
up
one nut.
You know what I mean? Like, how far are people willing to go?
You only need one, right?
Yeah, I don't need them anymore.
Yes. Someone did ask why the Pistons owe the Timberwolves their first. This is kind of what you were saying, John, about the NBA being weird and hard to keep track of and rules. So the Pistons, when they drafted Isaiah Thomas, they gave up a first, a future first, to the Knicks. But it was a pick that was protected. So it got kind of kicked down the road. And if the Pistons finish well enough this year, that pick would go to the Knicks, but the Knicks traded the rights to that pick, I believe, to the Timberwolves in the Karl Anthony Towns trade. This is stuff that no one really needs to know, but just to help the people out who are confused, why don't the Pistons control their own first round pick? It's because they drafted Isaiah Thomas, or not Isaiah Thomas, Isaiah Stewart years ago.
I was going to say, wow, that one got kicked down the road a long time.
From the 80s to today. Uh-huh. 248-539-9797. The question was Pistons buy, sell, or hold. We are going to get to the latest with Michigan football and the NCAA. Yay, there's more with that story. Michigan will fight allegations made by the NCAA in the Connor Stallions saga. We'll get to it at 7:35. Coming up next, Jerry Jones audio. You want to set this up for people, John?
I saw this yesterday, and so in the car playing the Instagram video, and it goes over the speakers, and my daughters are in the car. And so this is one where, okay, there's just questions as to what the hell is Jerry Jones talking about, and how uncomfortable is this audio if you're sitting there with your teenage daughters?
I don't think he knows what that word means.
Really?
What? Why else would he use it in the context he used it? We'll get to it next. Jerry Jones being weird.
I know what you know.
Does he?
I don't know. We'll, when we come back, we'll ask Heather if she knows.
Heather knows.
I know what it is. Next. I know what it means.
Next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. When you build this relationship, they're going to sit down with you and ask you as many questions so they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And they're going to continue to modify that plan as life changes, because every day, every month, every year, it will, and they're with you every step of the way. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so you found this clip on Instagram of Jerry Jones addressing the Cowboys media.
Yeah. And obviously there's been a lot of conversation about the process that they've gone through to hire their new coach. And there wasn't a lot of context with this, but I know in regards to hiring Brian Schottenheimer, who was their offensive coordinator, they promoted after not extending Mike McCarthy, letting his contract expire. They didn't do that until after the bye week. They didn't get a chance to interview any of the coaches that were doing interviews at that time, blah, blah, blah.
It's looked like a total mess. You don't promote the OC who didn't call plays on a 7-win team, an OC who didn't interview for any other job. So people have looked at this and gone, Jerry, you've lost your mind.
Yeah.
What's happened to the Cowboys? And he's been talking a lot, as he always does. And this isn't the first time I've heard him use this word. So I'm not sure if he's using it the way he thinks he's using it.
We'll let our listeners decide. And this was Jerry Jones, again, addressing the media and the thoughts of where his franchise is headed.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes. Very low percentage.
So, you hear that. So, first of all, a low percentage that is sunshine. All right, so you're thinking the context is smiles, happy times, good feelings. And then you follow that up with the term glory hole. And you've got to imagine that he is referencing smiles, happy times, and sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, don't Google it if you don't know what it is. But Jerry Jones is...
Oh, no. Use a work computer. Google it.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
I had a lot of trepidation this morning searching on Twitter, Jerry Jones glory.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Everything came up clean.
I swear he's used this before, and it feels super crass for him to use without knowing what he's doing.
He has.
Yeah.
Does he think it means something else?
I think so.
He's older.
Either or he is just totally playing everybody. I would think it's the first. John texted me yesterday. You got to hear this Jerry Jones audio. And I was at Connor's basketball game. Well, I wasn't going to do it there. And so to Greg's point about what the search, I just put in Jerry Jones because I figured, well, if this is making enough rounds, I'll get
it. It'll be the first thing on the top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Which it did. Therefore, you didn't have to put that into the search engine. And
so I used the work computer.
Yes.
And the first definition that comes up.
Oh, come on.
It's not what you think, is it?
What does it say?
No, it says it's an untidy storage place, especially a room or cupboard.
I also did this on my phone.
Right. The Google search now is completely ruined on your phone.
That's all right. This isn't my work.
Yes, yes. The algorithm is going to now include glory hole in your searches, everything that you search. Anyway, so in that context of that of what he is using it, so it's not all sunshine or untidy storage place, especially a room or cupboard. So that's not how he's using it.
No, not at all.
So he used the phrase in 2012 when he was speaking about his team. He said, I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. Having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Oh, no!
That's a quote attributed to Jerry Jones from the Houston Chronicle. They wrote about this a couple years ago, the 10-year anniversary.
I think he 100% is using it in the context that we think he's using
then
it.
And it's even more bizarre,
but
right?
Do you think he's just like adding the word hole to, he like in the glory days he meant
that's
to say?
No,
an extra word on with the word glory and doesn't really realize.
I don't. So you're just going to throw in a random word behind glory?
I mean, he's an old man.
I just didn't know if it meant something different in the 1800s when he grew up. Like, I just don't know.
I don't believe so. I think that that's I don't know the origination or when that became a thing.
Well, we had a caller call us up, Butch and Brighton, saying that it's a oil term when you strike and you hit.
Yeah, Texas, they're out there, and you hit oil.
That's how he got his money.
Yeah,
in oil.
You hit oil. Yes.
See, I think he doesn't know what he's saying.
Talking about it like an eruption.
Yes, John. I don't think Jerry knows what he's saying. Because the alternative is weird, that he'd be using like porn terms in the press conference.
You think somebody would maybe tell him,
you
right?
You would think so, but he's so
not
insulated.
Going to listen to
Nobody tells Jerry how to do anything.
Right, yes. Nobody puts Jerry in a corner.
Yeah, this one says it's striking oil. He's in the oil game. That's what Jerry is using it to mean.
So for anybody
listening in their car, that's what it means. It means to strike oil.
Strike oil.
Thanks, guys. My son just asked me what that word means. Were your kids in the car when you played this?
So Ellie has her permit.
Oh, no.
And so she's driving, and there's music playing on my phone, right? We're playing Eric Church, and we're kind of jamming along. And then I see this on Instagram, and I click on it, and the audio starts playing underneath the music, so it's playing at the same time. And it all of a sudden, you know, it plays loud enough, like we heard. And so I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, like, how am I going to explain this one? And I did kind of the same way I explained it to begin with. Like, Sunshine, I just said, you know.
It's all happy times and good times.
Did she ask you, though? Like, why even explain it? Just Just let it be.
Yeah. You could see there was that. And I was just caught in that uncomfortable moment where I just said, oh, he says it's not all good times.
Just happy times.
Yeah.
Texter says, someone come get grandpa and take him back to the assisted living home, Scott and Carlton.
That's about what it feels like.
I could see Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft hanging out together, Roy on the ticket text. All righty then. Heather, I'm so sorry to do this to you.
Oh, gosh, it's news time? Oh, awesome. On other topics, two teens were arrested after allegedly hitting a man on a bike in Monroe last week. Police say there was a 21-year-old man on his bike near an intersection when he was intentionally hit by a vehicle, then that drove off. Police were able to use some video footage, identified the vehicle, found the 19-year-old driver, arrested them, and also an 18-year-old passenger. They're expected to be charged with felonious assault, and police say it's believed that road rage may have led to the incident. Yikes. A Detroit woman and rapper is suing Lyft after her driver canceled her ride because of her weight. So according to this lawsuit, she ordered the Lyft, and when her driver pulled up in this Mercedes sedan, he then locked the doors and started to drive away. She was filming all of this, so there's video evidence. The driver allegedly told her that she was too big to get into his car, and at one point said that his tires could not support her weight. She then told the driver, hey, I can fit in your car, but the driver said nope and said, you know what, this has happened before. Overweight people should order larger vehicles. Her lawyer says that refusing someone transportation due to their weight is no different than refusing somebody transportation based on race or religion.
TMZ has said that in Michigan, civil rights laws do bar discrimination based on weight. So I'm sure that's part of this.
Yep.
She's filming it.
She is.
Was she looking to create this situation? Is it fair to ask that question?
I mean, you can ask it, I guess, but nowadays people film everything. Yeah. I mean, literally people are filming their...
You film getting into an Uber or a Lyft?
Maybe she was doing a video. She was going to her cousin's house for a party. Maybe she was doing a little, like, pre-party... I don't know, John. I have no idea, John.
Like, does she dance like you were dancing there in the
seat? Yeah, just like me.
She's a rapper.
Yeah.
Was this live, or did she choose to post this? Because when you claim that this caused you humiliation and distress, did you post this to...
Maybe she's just posting it as evidence. Okay. Like, hey, like, I'm not making up the story. Here's what went down. I am embarrassed by this, but I want people to know the truth.
I think the guy's excuse about the tires is lame. I totally think your tires can handle 600 pounds. You could have three 200-pound guys in the backseat of your car, and your tires would be fine. It's just a weird story.
It is. It's a weird story, but it has circulated all over. Season 29 of The Bachelor aired on Monday night. Brand new season. And this year's cast of women features someone from right here in Metro Detroit. 29-year-old Parisa from Birmingham is on the show. She's a pediatric behavior analyst. And she is vying for Bachelor Grant Ellis's heart. And she's off to a good start because she wasn't eliminated Monday night. Seven women went home.
Is that the first night?
Yeah, it's the first night. She stuck around, so she'll be back next week.
Do you still watch?
I don't. Mm. Yeah. I did. I used to watch all the time. And it was more of it could be on in the background kind of thing. Like, it's a show you don't have to pay that much attention to. It's lost my interest over not only The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor Gays.
Old timers.
It's just, you know what? I liked The Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
Because they had such great little stories, and they're... most of them had lost the love of their life already, and they just wanted love for the remaining years. And yeah, I liked
didn't
that
want to
one.
Didn't die alone.
Yeah. But no, it's lost me. Now, speaking of The Bachelor, Papa John's gave away free pizza to fans. And they did this. They were giving away this free pizza to anyone with the same name as the First Impression Rose recipient. Mm. So they called it the First Impression Pizza. Mm. So if you watch the show, you know that the Bachelor or Bachelorette always gets the can give away the First Impression Rose to somebody that made a great first impression that they'd like to date more. The thing with this is how it worked is that you didn't need to go and buy the pizza on Monday night, right? You have to be a Papa John's reward member.
Oh, yeah. And you have to have all your information in the app.
Yes. And they give you the money directly to your app. So $15 if you have the first name. Now, the thing is it has to be spelled the same as really? Which is where I'm guessing they probably didn't give away a ton of pizza. So the winner of the First Impression Rose was Alex.
Oh, great. Super popular.
A-L-E-X-E.
What? Well, I guess that's an alternate spelling.
Everybody's got to be unique.
So...
Everyone is
unique.
Nothing
wrong with the spelling,
no.
But I'm just saying that it is a unique spelling. So,
but all the people named Alex, A-L-E-X, are not eligible to win this free pizza.
No, not at all.
Bummer for Alex's.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, listen to this, you guys. There's a spectator at a high school track meet in Colorado.
This is bizarre.
This is wild. And he was killed in a freak accident by a competitor, okay? Guy, 57 years old, Wade Langston. He was at this meet to watch his son when a competitor in the hammer throwing event lost control of this massive weight. It's not actually a hammer. It's like
it's a
weight
steel ball with a chain. Yeah.
And lost control of this weight. The weight flew over a safety net and hit this guy in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Right? He was pronounced dead at the scene right there. Witnesses say that he was actually trying to protect his wife and son when this weight struck.
It's an awful story.
Oh my gosh.
So if you've ever seen one, like they're heavy, right? And it's not like you could just catch it out of the air.
Well, no, and it's flying at a high rate of speed.
Right. And so he dives in front of his wife and child. And then ends up losing, and he was pronounced dead on the scene.
Was he hit in the head, I'm guessing?
Somewhere there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's awful, but also wild. What a story.
It's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, Michigan is going to fight those allegations made by the NCAA. Their response, we'll tell you about it next, 97.1.
Hey, are you looking to get stronger? This is your year, and the place is Planet Fitness. You can get in for $1 down, $15 a month. And when you think about the value that you get, it's unbelievable for only $1 down and $15 a month that you get a chance to go to a place that is clean every single time. They're always upgrading their equipment. A great variety. If you like cable machines, they've got it. You've got free weights, they've got it. You like cardio, they've got all of it. And if you go there and you like what you're doing, you want to upgrade because you want to have access to the Black Card Spa, or you just want to take somebody with you, unlimited guest privileges with the Black Card membership. You also have access to every single location, 2,600 clubs nationwide, 50 in Detroit, 15 in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo. So there's one wherever you're going. And you get a chance to have, at every single level, knowledgeable trainers. So there's free fitness training, whether it's the base membership or it's the Black Card membership. Find your nearest club and join today in club. Online or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That's Planet Fitness. They also want you to know that if you're 18 years older, you can enroll at any time. 13 to 17 years old, got to take mom and dad or a guardian with you. Hours, amenities, and offers vary by club. Check out planetfitness.com or stop by your local club for more information.
So I saw this come out yesterday, right around dinner time, and I thought, oh boy, we're going to have to keep talking about this. John, I don't know if you feel the same way, but we've got an update in the Michigan versus the NCAA Connor Stallion saga. This from Yahoo. They cite a 137-page document that makes it clear Michigan will not enter into a negotiated resolution with the NCAA over the alleged wrongdoing. A hearing before the Committee of Infractions is likely to happen in the coming weeks, and it could be a lengthy fight similar to that of Tennessee, which they waged with the NCAA over recruiting violations. Eventually, the Vols avoided the dreaded postseason ban and instead suffered financial penalties as well as recruiting and scholarship reductions. What is your reaction to Michigan fighting this?
Well, it's interesting, too, because of the new world that we're going to be in. If the goal is to have a penalty similar to, because I mean, I think we all believe that there's going to be some type of penalty, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the understanding.
Even Michigan acknowledges. I think they're fighting how bad it was, which to me is silly. Like,
well, they're not necessarily fighting how bad it was. They're fighting that they don't want to have a postseason ban. Basically, is how I take this. And if you enter into negotiations, which I don't know why you wouldn't enter into negotiations, you don't have to agree. Mm-hmm. If you don't end up agreeing on the penalty, that you can, you know, go the length of the process, and that they don't want to have that postseason ban. They would rather have recruiting limitations or, you know, cash considerations, because the fact that you're going up to basically 105 scholarships moving forward, that's where this is going. So if you are fully funding in this new era of revenue share, 105 scholarships, because that's what's the roster limit, and you can have as many scholarships as you want. I mean, they got 85 now, so if they lose 15 scholarships, okay, yeah, you don't have as many as everybody else, but you got more than you have now.
Yeah, the penalty is not what it used to be.
Right, and so I do think that they're going to fight it tooth and nail, because some of it's the reputation that's kind of sailed.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah. But in terms of what the ultimate penalty will be, will somewhat determine, you know, their ability to salvage some of that reputation.
And look, we'll go through all this because some of you may not have read it. I don't have 137 pages, but Yahoo has a long article kind of detailing where we're at right now. I thought one thing that was interesting is the tipster came from inside Michigan's own program, anonymous tipster. So not Ryan Day's brother or some weird conspiracy theory. This was someone with knowledge tipped off the NCAA. And there's no disputing that Michigan benefited from Stallion's in-person scouting scheme. To what degree, I assume, is up for debate. But there's no doubt that Stallion's communicated with coaches about signs he obtained, and he obtained those against NCAA rules.
Right. And so then it becomes a bit of a semantics. How did they get that? How did Connor Stallions get that information?
And some of it was allowed, and some of it appears to have not been.
Right, but did the coaches know
how he obtained it?
Yeah.
As of right now, there's no proof of it, but failure to monitor is the big thing here.
Right.
There are 6 level 1 violations referenced by the NCAA. That's a lot. That's the highest. Level 1 is the most punitive. And a lot of that has to do with Harbaugh not cooperating, but also a failure to monitor. And when you have multiple coaches aware, Hart and Partridge by name, yet compliance was not involved, I think that fits the definition of failure to monitor. And given that Michigan was already on probation for recruiting violations during the COVID dead period, I don't see that they have much to stand on. And instead, the defense is, well, they're more of level 2s and it wasn't that bad. It was what it was. You just kind of have to own it.
Well, yes, but they're going to argue that it should be level 2s versus level 1s because the penalty is much different.
Then cooperate.
Well, they supplied the quote-unquote text messages.
Sharon has been more forthcoming than Harbaugh. I mean, that's not saying much. Harbaugh's a completely different level of stubborn, as we all know.
Yeah. And one of the questions I have, and I asked you this at a break, I don't understand those in the Michigan family, whether it's fans, former players, that because Sharon actually says why he deleted it.
Yeah.
And his quote is, and it wasn't to hide anything. It was just that I was extremely angry of, you know, the type of person that would do that to this program and these kids. I don't understand those that are defending Connor Stallions, what he has done to this program. And I, hey, coaches, all right, they're adults. They're making their own decisions. I have always said it's what he did to the players and the legacy of those players and the country. There will always be this black cloud over the 3 Big Ten championships and the national championship. And anybody that wants to defend him, I just don't understand how that is.
Why people still defend him.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, he has 100%, he broke the rules. And he has done something that has brought shame and discredit to the program. Why would you defend that?
No,
and I'm not talking about the program. Yeah. I'm talking about their fans and former players. Supporters. Like, he is some cult hero. He's not.
Explain. Yeah, that's a great question. We could throw that out there to people among all the other things that are up here. 248-539-9797. Why is he treated like a cult hero from some inside the fan base? I don't understand it, because all he has done is put you in a bind here. Even if he was truly acting alone, he still puts you in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But to me, this is not just about whether he acted alone or not. Mike Hart was made aware of his transgressions, and Mike Hart went to Jesse Minter, per this Yahoo story. But no one went to compliance. Partridge was aware of some of this, and yet compliance wasn't involved. Why not? Is it because you're trying to look the other way? You don't truly want to know how bad it was, so you play dumb and you act dumb, and that's where you get into the failure from the program to monitor, to appropriately suss out what is this crazy nut job doing in our program? Why is he asking our student assistants to go out and do stuff that's against the rules? Shouldn't we be internally checking this? Why only did he leave the program when this came to light? You know, I think these are fair questions. And for Michigan, you just kind of have to eat it. No one's taking your title away. No one's going to Men in Black, you know, erase memories from you with a little pen. You still get to enjoy the title that you had and the Big Ten championships that you had. But the idea that they're going to fight this, it feels silly. Like, your coach didn't cooperate in Jim Harbaugh. Sharon eventually provided the text, and I suppose there's plausible deniability. But your staff has not handled this on the up and up as a whole. And that's the issue. When it becomes systemic, that's when the NCAA really does start tacking those violations up and rounding up and going from twos to threes and twos to ones. You got six level ones. You're going to fight this?
Well, I think they want to fight that it's not level one, that it's level two. So, I mean, it's. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities to think that a program would fight going from level ones to level twos.
248-539-9797. I'm sure you guys have some thoughts on it. It's 97.1.
Hey, your New Year's resolution is to lose weight, and you can get there faster than you think. With Ideal You. Go to idealyou.us now and you could lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 40 days. So whether your resolution is to lose 10 or 100, Ideal You works, and it works fast. You get results. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. I lost 50 in the prescribed 40 that we're talking about, and I got to eat real whole foods, so I was able to stick with it. I didn't have to have a continued diet of shakes and bars. Ideal You's weight loss coaches are going to work with you every single step of the way. Your coach is there to help you lose weight, and when you lose it, they're going to help you keep it off. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. Ideal You is a Michigan-based company that has helped thousands of people just like me and you lose weight. In fact, I've had other teammates, former teammates outside of our area, go through it, and they have had great success. In fact, over 90% of Ideal You customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us. Sign up now and get a $200 Visa gift card. Start the new year off right. Lose weight and get $200 Visa gift card along with it. Want to weigh less? Go to idealyou.us.
All had been quiet on the Michigan Connor Stallions NCAA front. The NCAA, we got an update here. Yahoo Sports reporting, Michigan will not enter into a negotiated resolution with the NCAA. They will fight this at the Committee on Infractions. And it's a long story, and we've referenced some of it. We want to know your reaction to it. And John, you asked the question, why do Michigan fans revere Connor Stallions? He has brought great shame to the program.
I just don't get it. I mean, he, in some circles, has become a cult hero. And we're having these conversations, and it's not going to be the last time, because we'll get another report in another couple of months, and who knows how long this goes. But it all goes back to one guy and breaking the rules, doing what he wasn't supposed to do, and bringing shame to the program. I just don't get it. I can't stand whenever time the name comes up, it instantly brings anger to me.
Texter says Stallions is a celebrity at Michigan tailgates and bars before games. John's right. It makes no sense. Another texter says, guessing John doesn't like Portnoy platforming Connor on the football shows he does. It's a weird, strange flex. Someone says, STFU, John. Stallions is your top recruiter. How do you think you got Underwood? The program is a bunch of cheaters. Take your medicine. Signed, Matt.
And that is exactly why it angers me. Is like he there's just all these connections, and it just needs to end.
U of M broke the rules. It's not just Connor. It's not a lone wolf, John. Good try, buddy.
Is that what I said?
That's how it sounded to him.
Okay.
Because this is more than just Stallions in terms of the NCAA's eyes. They don't think Michigan did enough to monitor the transgressions of Stallions. That at best, they were negligent. At worst, this was a deeper scheme. Now, there is not proof directly tying coaching,
right?
You know, coordinators and head coaches who assigned this work to Stallions or were aware directly of the scope of Stallions. That's fine. But then at best, you're still guilty of negligence, of failure to monitoring. When multiple assistants are made aware, hey, this guy's calling outside the lines and compliance isn't involved. When your head coach refuses to cooperate with investigators, what are you hiding? You're already on probation. This is when the NCAA goes, okay, you're trying to make a mockery of this. You're trying to play defense instead of cooperating. You're trying to say it's not that bad. It's only not that bad because you won't actually give us info. You are being defiant, and we are going to come for you with 6 level 1 violations. And now Michigan has the gall to go, what are you talking about? That's what gets me. Just
well, I don't think they're saying, what are we talking about? I think they're saying we disagree with the level, and that's what they're going
to
fight.
It's not that bad is what the defense mounts to.
No,
It's not that bad. It's not level 1 bad. It's level 2 bad. It's not that bad.
Well, sure. And so they're going to fight that just like Tennessee did. It's not like they're the only program that is going to fight, well, we don't want level 1 violation. So if we fight hard enough and strong enough and we lawyer up the best, that's really what this is going to come down to.
It's stupid. It's going to
end up lawyers up the most. Yeah. And you know, can we get something similar to what Tennessee got?
Which was fines, I think millions.
Yeah.
They have to get the specifics. And scholarship reductions, which you can try to mitigate with NIL. And if you got enough money, you can kind of make the problem go away. I don't know. I guess I just feel like Michigan's thing in all of this is the defiance has got them into trouble more than anything else. If they had just gone, whoa, Stallions is like this manifesto nut job guy. We broomed his ass out the first time we got a whiff of this. We didn't need him anyway. None of this happens. The defiance is actually what gets them into this hot water to begin with, and their response is to be more defiant. That's how I see it. I know you don't necessarily see it the same way.
Well, and it's not that we have to.
That's fine.
But it when you look at in through the course of NCAA history, anybody that has just, you know, quote unquote, taken their medicine versus the teams that fight it, the teams that fight up end up in a better situation. And so why wouldn't you? Makes sense.
Phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. Carter in Commerce, you got thoughts? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, morning, guys. This comes from a Michigan State fan, and I actually kind of defend not necessarily Stallions, but the University of Michigan, because I think this is the issue with the NCAA is our ignorance to notice that Ryan Day, we don't think, is doing the same thing. Those schools in the SEC are doing the same thing. I think at the end of the day, this is another example of the NCAA and their failed leadership, because I go back to when I was working in college hoops, right, and you've got that inner workings of communicating with the other staffs to get scouting reports. And so you're getting signs from them and those different things you see where teams have their benches for some home basketball arenas, right? They're not camera facing for this exact reason. I think it's just at this point, a little bit of ignorance on the NCAA's part from that side of things.
Well, but my argument to that, Carter, is you can't just say, well, everyone's doing it. You may have that thought, you may have that opinion, but it's what you can prove. If everyone's doing it, how come they haven't been able to prove that everyone's doing it?
Right. I just think it's more so, and again, I'm not a Michigan homer, so
sure.
I think Ryan Day was butthurt that his guy wasn't as good as Stallions, maybe, you know, and the absolute precision that Stallions was. I mean, they killed Michigan State. They killed Ohio State all these years. Sure, from the play on the field as well.
Carter, what does Ryan Day have to do with this?
That's where the whole thing starts from.
No, it started from an internal member of the Michigan program that blew the whistle. That's in this Yahoo story. I know the narrative for a long time has been this, like, PI, Ryan Day's brother, like, mythology. I there's nothing to back that up. And in fact, this latest report would indicate that someone from Michigan finally said, you know what, if we're not going to clean up our own house, I got to tell someone at the NCAA. And that's not to defend the NCAA as this bastion or beacon of integrity, but they are the governing body and they do have to look into things when it becomes apparent.
Here's the other question. Why does Michigan not know who this individual is?
And that's their contention, is that that person can't remain anonymous if it's going to be applied in
right
the punishment, like if they're going to use it. So this is where we get into the lawyers and
you
the
legalese. You got to be able to defend against your accuser.
Yeah, and I think Michigan, from reading this Yahoo piece, says we value anonymity generally, like anonymous
sure
sourcing is
but when it raises this level, you got to know who you're defending yourself against.
Which was one of their contentions. And again, that's where we get into this fight that Michigan is set to have with the NCAA. 248-539-9797. Texter says that NCAA has no teeth. Of course you should fight back. Another one says, tell the NCAA to pound sand. They have no authority over professional athletes. Signed, Phil.
Such a bizarre world that we're living in right now in college athletics.
Texter says, Jim, they're not defiant. They're arrogant. It's not defiance, it's arrogance from Michigan. Friendly reminder, what Tennessee did was 10 times worse. Stallions is treated as a cult hero because he helped bring a natty, and there is zero evidence that he violated any rules.
I don't get that argument.
The people are going to go to the ends of the earth to act like nothing went wrong at all. Even Michigan's not saying nothing went wrong. Even Michigan acknowledges that Connor Stallions did some of this above board and some of this was shady and against the rules. Like, even Michigan contends that, but you have sycophants that won't even acknowledge that Stallions himself broke the rules. I mean, if you don't want to say Harbaugh instructed him, fine, there's no proof, but they benefited. And if you want to say to what degree, fine, but they did, right? If he's obtaining information against the rules and texting the coaches about it and giving game plans to the coaches about it, even though it's not to their knowledge against the rules, the program still reaps the reward.
I just want to know why Ohio State was held to its lowest point total in the rivalry since 1996 when they didn't cheat.
Well, okay, so they were held to 10 points this year.
Ten points.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were held to their lowest point total when Michigan didn't cheat.
More than one thing can be true. Michigan could have been better than Ohio State and they could have been cheating. Right? Can't both things have been true?
Yes.
And I think both things were true. I mean, clearly they have a Michigan problem over there beyond the sign stealing. No issue.
They clearly didn't cheat this year, right? You would think.
Not that we have any knowledge of. No reason to say last
year you could still argue that maybe some of the stuff was beneficial, but they had their lowest offensive output when they didn't cheat.
Yeah. So we've got open lines if you want to weigh in on it. I know there's also a fatigue with this. Like, I know you guys have probably already yelled and screamed about this enough. If you feel passionate about it, if you have a reaction to the latest, we've got the phones and we've got the ticket text. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to get into a little bit of the Lions offseason. Step one, are you keeping these guys? Stay or go edition, Lions internal free agents. We also have stories about restaurants that you might not want to eat in. Mm. Get to that as well. It's 97.1.